Indeed, our God is an awesome God. I appreciate the song and bringing us back to where we began in our series, looking at the name of God and of Christ, seeking in everything we do to magnify it. That has been our goal this week. I appreciate the attendance of each and every one tonight. It's been good to have Carrie and Sylvia Lewis with us today. They flew in from Tennessee. They're good friends of ours, and it's been good to have them with us today, as well as everyone else that has been able to attend. Being the final service of the gospel meeting, I want to begin by expressing to you once again my sincere appreciation for the invitation to come and to be with you. We've enjoyed every time that we've been able to be here and to be with you. You're most kind and welcoming, and I appreciate, as I mentioned before, the stand of the congregation in this community to preach the Word of God and not compromise it in any way, but to stand fast in the faith and to be a light in this community. And we will be praying for your success and for God's blessings, and I know that He will bless you as long as you continue to stand firm for the truth in this community. And I know at times when we face the world and all of the challenges, it's easy to get discouraged at times. Even Elijah once felt he was alone and no one left serving the Lord, but that sure was not the case. And the Lord certainly will bless you as long as you serve Him. Appreciate the work that Larry is doing among you. I know of his commitment to the truth, and we appreciate so much the family and all that they've done to make our stay pleasant and to welcome us this week. We feel very at home there at their house, and they've made us feel very comfortable, and we appreciate so much. We know the effort that it takes to welcome a family like that into your home, but they've been most cordial and hospitable this week. So again, we appreciate all of the effort that has gone into this series of meetings, the advertising to the singing each night and each service and all that goes into the planning and the effort. And the seed has been sown. We pray now that God will give the increase. But we will keep you in our thoughts and prayers, and pray that God will continue to bless you. I want to wrap up the series, as we had mentioned in the advertising, talking about the idea of homesick. And I raise the question, are you homesick? Now, when we think about that, this is a feeling I think surely all of us sometime in our life have felt. And I think particularly when you're a young child, I think back till I was about 10 years of age, and I remember we were living in Louisville, Kentucky, and my mother's parents lived in southern Kentucky, about 100 miles away or so. And a couple of weeks a year in the summertime, my brother and I would go down and stay with the grandparents for a couple of weeks. And we loved them, but I still remember being very homesick as time went on. And even my grandmother had a picture of my mother, and I'd sit and look at that picture, you know, because I missed home. That was my first remembrance of homesickness. And then much later, when I was 18 and left home and went to Florida College from Kentucky, about 800 to 900 miles away. And even though I felt that I was grown, even then there were times that you would miss home. You don't really think about it so much until you experience it. And then there have been times that Don and I have held meetings up in Calgary. And one time comes to mind when we had taken a few days after the meeting there, and we were driving near the border, and you could see the mountains over in Kentucky. And Don was just saying, that makes me homesick. You know, I want to go back home. So all of us, I think, at times have experience that, and we understand how that is not a pleasant feeling. The word for home is defined as where you live or the place that we feel most comfortable, where we feel loved and protected, where we feel at home. Home is many things to many people. Sadly, Not everyone has a good home, and not everyone would miss the home they grew up in. Unfortunately, in our world, there are too many that are abusive in their homes, and it's not a comfortable place. It's not a place where you are loved and protected. But one thing that I've learned about homesickness is that it really isn't generally the place that you miss. We'll see what really makes home home is the people that live there. And I thought about that since the passing of my parents. My mother passed away in December of last year and my father in March. And, you know, I don't miss the house where they lived. It's different now. I miss the people that lived there. And that's what home really is all about. It's the relationships. It's the people. And when you think of homesick, it means sad or depressed from a longing for home or family while away from them for really a short or a long period of time. There's a sadness there. There's literally a pain that would be felt there. But what I want to talk with you about tonight is a little different. The reason, you know, I was homesick for those places I talked about or the people that I talked about was because I had been there. I had experienced that and I knew what it was like and I missed that. But what I want to talk to you about is being homesick for a place I've never seen and a place you've never seen yet. And yet we can experience homesickness. The more we learn about the eternal home that our Heavenly Father has for us. I want to start just by the words of a familiar song that we sing called There Is a Habitation. A dwelling place is what that word means. And the song says there is a habitation built by the living God for all of every nation who seek that grand abode. Now think about those words. There is a dwelling place. Remember what Jesus said? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That idea of many mansions are dwelling places prepared for us, for all of every nation who will seek that grand abode. And the chorus says, O Zion, Zion, a term used for physical Jerusalem, but also used in a spiritual sense for heaven. Heaven, heaven, or Zion, Zion, I long thy gates to see. There's that idea of a homesickness, a longing within us. O Zion, Zion, when shall I dwell in thee? A city with foundations, firm as the eternal throne. A city with the throne of God. No wars nor desolation shall ever move a stone. No night is there, no sorrow, no death, no decay, no yesterday, no morrow, but one eternal day. In our second lesson, we talked about time, how that it is part of this world, but not in the world to come. It is meaningless there. Nothing is governed by time there. It's eternal, one eternal day. No night, no morrow. It's all part of eternity. Within its pearly portals, angelic armies sing with glorified immortals. Yes, in this world we live in a physical body made from the dust of the ground. But now, eventually, as glorified immortals, we can go to heaven, praise our King forever. And again, the chorus says, Zion, I long thy gates to see. When shall I dwell in thee? How sick, homesick are you for heaven? Think about what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Think about that statement. You know, we cannot be in two places at one time as human beings. If we're here, we're not there, and vice versa. For instance, when I'm here in Idaho today, I can't be back in Kentucky preaching. Someone else was preaching there today. Because while we're one place, we're not another. So while we live on this earth, we can't be in heaven. That's the way Paul was looking at this. I'm at home in the body, but that means that I'm absent from the Lord. I know about the Lord. I believe in Him. believe in God the Father, but I've not seen Him. I've never been there. We walk, what? By faith, not by sight. We haven't seen heaven. We haven't seen the Son of God or the Father. But we are of good courage, and I say, prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home, or as the King James says, present with the Lord. Now think about that. What Paul really is expressing here may not sound like much on the surface, but what he is saying is, I would rather die and go on and go home to be with the Lord. I prefer to be absent from the body. What he said was, this body is holding me back from being able to go home and to be present with the Lord. Now that is homesickness for what you have where you have never yet been. The word means to be present with the Lord, means comes from the word endemio, to be in one's own country or home, to be at home. That's what Paul said, I would prefer to be at home. Psalm 23, that familiar psalm, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Talking about life here on this earth. And then what? Then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see again the anxiousness, the desire, the hope of where one is going to go. No fear of death and crossing over because of what waits. I will have a house, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that familiar verse we talked about in John 14, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But we have to make up our mind. You're not going to be homesick for a place that you're not even sure really exists, is really there. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Why? To receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In Matthew 25, 34, the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God's plan to save us was in his mind before the first man ever lived and breathed, before the world was founded. He already had a plan for our salvation that involved us being able to go home and to be with him and to live there eternally. And Hebrews 11 shows that even many Old Testament figures were seeking a homeland. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, and declare that they seek a homeland. So again, it says they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them. Here is the idea of not seeing it by eyesight, but seeing it by faith. They never experienced it. You know, you think about the promises God made to Abraham, and he never lived to see the majority of them fulfilled. And furthermore, he never lived to see that seed through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But Abraham was seeking a building with foundations that God had made. He was seeking a better country. He was part of these strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And it wasn't just the land of Canaan. They were seeking an eternal homeland, which was prepared for them. And so should we. Hebrews 13 says, here we have no continuing city. We cannot live on this earth eternally. This earth is not eternal. It will, one day it was created by God, and one day it will be destroyed. Peter is very clear that the earth and the works that are in it will be destroyed. They will be burned up. He says there are no continuing cities here, but we seek the one to come. That's what we long for. That's what we're looking for. Now, what makes this home so special? What is it that it makes it so good? Well, again, it's not just the beauty of the place. It describes it as a very beautiful place, but a place of beauty filled by people that are wicked or evil would not be a good place, nor a place that we really would want to go. It's the companionship that we will enjoy there that makes it special. Revelation 22 says in verse 3, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. We have never seen God face to face. And in fact, he said, no man at any time has seen the Father. Moses asked God if he could see his face, and he was told he could not see him and live. He was allowed to see some of the passing glory after he had gone by, but not the face of God. But one day, you and I, it says, they shall see his face. His servants will serve him that see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. A symbolic way of saying they belong unto him. That's the point that he is making. So again, one day we will be in the presence of God and around the throne of God and the Lamb of God, as we've learned about a title given to Jesus. We'll be there, and we also shall see him. John 14 and verse 3, again, where I am, there you may be also. It's what Jesus said. I go to prepare this place for you. And then 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 13. In order to comfort those whose loved ones were dying, and these were early New Testament Christians that thought that the Lord would return in their own lifetime, and they were concerned because some were beginning to die, and they thought, what's going to happen to our brethren who have died when the Lord returns? And he said, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have died or fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Those spirits or souls will return with Christ. And he said, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. We live now in the veil of tears, as this world is sometimes called. And tears often come for one reason or another. But we live with a hope of a much better world. We understand that this world is not our home. We are indeed, as the song says, just passing through. But we need to fix our eyes firmly on the reward to come and focus on what he has prepared for us. Not only is the companionship of this home part of what makes it so special, but the encouragement we receive, the comfort that we will have, the beauty that we will be surrounded by. In Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4, in verse 4, he said, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now think about what he is telling us there. Imagine a world like this. If I could assure you that there was a state in our country that you could go to, and no one that moved there ever cried, had a reason to cry. No one that ever moved there died. No one ever had any sorrow or crying there. And they had no pain. Would you be willing to sell and give what you have to move there? Would you long for a place like that? When in this world we experience all of these things in regularity in our life, and sometimes there's little, if anything, we can really do about it. Sin is the number one reason for the cause of pain and suffering in our world. In that world, there will be no more sin. Satan will not be there. The evil will not be there. Pain and sorrow, death and tears will not be there. Imagine a home like that. No wonder we would, again, be wanting to go there. Notice what Revelation 21 tells us about what will not be there. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what will not be there. That's part of what makes it such a special place. He said in Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness. I think at times we sometimes may fool ourselves into thinking, as long as my name's on the roll book and I'm a part of a congregation, the Lord will just kind of judge us as congregations and take us all. But here what he is saying is some that appear to be in the kingdom, claim to be in the kingdom, may even wear the name of the Lord, that offend will one day be gathered out. He will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Once again he's saying, pay attention. Make up your mind, which is going to be your home, an eternity in heaven with God and the righteous, or all of the unrighteous that will be cast into hell. No one would desire to go there. No one would be homesick for that place. But it will be the home of so many. I ask you a question to think about tonight. Are you afraid to die? Are we afraid to die? If you were to die today, would heaven be your eternal home? When you think about the Apostle Paul and how often he expressed the desire to depart, that he was ready to depart and to leave his body behind, that he might be able to go home and be with the Lord. If this were to be your final day and you not experience another sunrise, would it be gain for you? Would it be going home for you to the home that you long for? If you are a Christian, are you homesick? Do you desire this more than anything? There are a lot of people that you could ask them, well, do you desire to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Many would certainly say yes. But when you ask them, do you think you're going to heaven? Many with a kind of skeptical, I hope so, or I certainly would like to. You know, it's not an assurity. I know that I know Him. I know His Word. I'm following that Word. I'm practicing what God tells me to do. And I have a real, genuine hope of eternal life. That would be that not just you want to go, you expect to go. You know what God has promised. And you know, as the New Testament tells us, our spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. John said, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We should be living our life each day in such a way that if we were to die, if we were to face the cold, chilly hand of death, we have no reason to fear or dread, but it would be like going home to be with our spiritual family. Homesick again for a place I've never seen. Remember, home where Christians will live. The place that we will feel most comfortable, loved, and protected. Where we will truly feel at home. In this world, we often do not feel like we belong. We are rejected for our faith and for our stand for the truth. Many times, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution in this world, but not in the one to come. Isn't that one of the beautiful things about home? You're loved, you're appreciated, and supported in the home. That's the way it should be and will be in heaven. Homesickness is that longing for home or family while away from them. All of our life we've been away from that home. But we were made and created in the image of God that we can go to that home. Now let's think about the invitation song and the beautiful words of that song. We've sung it many times. I encourage you to think carefully about the words of this song that we are about to sing. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Can you see heaven through the eyes of faith? For the Savior waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessings of rest. You know, I think about that statement, we shall sing on that shore the melodious songs of the blessed. Have you ever thought about and wondered what singing will be like? We talked about in our lesson this morning how God commands us to sing. And the thought of singing with angelic beings, can you imagine what it will sound like? I don't know what's the largest group you've ever been around in a singing and how beautiful. I'm sure you've heard beautiful singing before. Try to imagine what it will be like around the throne of God. You have that scene of the 24 elders and all of the angelic beings and then the redeemed of all ages surrounding the throne. Try to imagine the melodious songs of the blessed. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And then the last verse says, to our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. Imagine when you make it around God's throne, offering praise to the Father, praise to the Lamb. We have those visions of Jesus, the Lamb of God, as one slain and now risen and standing. And the praise, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor. And one day we will again, together with Him, offer our tribute of praise. We will be home, thanking Him for the glorious gift of His love, giving of His Son to save us, and the blessings that hallow our days. I know no better way to end this gospel meeting, if you're not a Christian, than for you to accept and obey the gospel tonight and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are not a Christian, if you've never been born again in the waters of baptism and you're not a child of God, you do not live with the hope of eternal life. And we would like to encourage you to think about what you're risking when you put off or delay, when you know there's sin in your life and you need to correct it, you know that Jesus is the answer. And we talked about in one of our lessons exactly what you would need to do. You need to learn and hear God's word. You've heard that this week and throughout other times that you've been coming to services. You've learned God's word. Now perhaps you've got to make up your mind. Do I believe it? Do I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And are you willing to repent of your sin, turn in your mind, and make it your will to follow the will of the Heavenly Father and the gospel of Christ? And then be baptized upon your confession of faith of Jesus before this audience tonight. And you can go home this evening and pillow your head tonight and know that should anything happen to me, it will just be a going home. It's no wonder that the scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Think till later in this year when we get to a holiday, say like Thanksgiving. And with many, either you will be driving to a location, as the song says, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. So many will be coming to grandmother's house, or grandmother may be coming to your house. Either way, it's a gathering, isn't it? It's a going home. We know exactly how that feels when our loved ones get together. And, you know, if you have an opportunity to do that and you say, well, you know, I've got something else going, then it's obvious that you could, but you choose not to come. And what does that say to those that we say we love? So when God says one of His child dies, that it is precious. We understand that. You know how it feels when your loved ones, your family, come home. And we see death as a temporary separation and a loss for us while we're here. But to God, it's His child coming home. Are we homesick? If you never had another day on this earth, would it matter to you if you knew you were going home and going to heaven? You know, we even have those that foolishly sing, I want to go to heaven, but not right now, or not today. Well, I'm telling you, if I could go today, I would go today. Homesick for a place I've never seen. I want you to have and live with that same hope of eternal life in your heart. If you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and need to make correction in your life, then I hope and pray that you will accept and obey the gospel even this evening. Won't you come while we stand and sing to encourage you?